Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Only a Bag. I'm Darcy Melton, and with me is...
Nathaniel Mellor.
Thanks for joining us again. We're going to be talking in this episode a little bit about Rome, because a lot of you might be arriving here whenever you're entering Italy. And if you know us, you know that we have done a lot of episodes on Rome. So this will just be really talking about staying cool here because it's hot in the summer. We're in Rome now. It's pretty toasty. And just some day trips and maybe some other things that we hadn't quite covered before we get on to the north.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I think you pretty much covered the thesis statement there.
Oh, thank you so much.
so how are we going to start this off?
So our number one tip is maybe something that a lot of people don't think about, especially when you're away from home, is keeping your house or wherever you're staying cool. And maybe this is something a lot of you know, but keep your shutters closed and your windows closed, right?
And if I may, this is more specific for anybody who's like just going to skip past this part real quickly. Because a lot of people do obviously stay at Airbnbs now. Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily equipped with the same comforts a hotel might be, where a hotel might have like...
Air conditioning
pretty much. Yeah. Or at the very least like building wide, like HVAC.
Yeah, a lot of houses in Italy do not have air conditioning.
Yeah, and a lot of the hotels in Rome are equipped with these little I guess in the winter they're called heat pumps, but they're like air pumps, I guess. And you can set them to cool, and they should, you know, actually pump out like AC. So you can kind of control it yourself rather than it being controlled like by the building. You don't have to like, you know, ask the building to turn up or turn down the AC. But I think it was all basically like one thing that we had noticed is while you're not really at your room or your hotel, your Airbnb the whole day, it can and will heat up, especially in the summer, if you're not there, keeping the doors closed, keeping the shutters closed. And the shutters is a big one because if you've been to Italy before, or if you're been here for more than a day, you might have noticed that almost every house or hotel or apartment has either shutters that close, like just normal window shutters, or they have these rolling shutters called a tapparella, which is just things that rolls down and rolls back up.
It's like a rolling grate.
It's like a rolling grate, but it's...
to keep the sun out.
Yeah, I guess. It's like it's solid, I guess, rather than like... It's not like a grate in the sense of like there's no openings in it, really.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of a rolling grate like you would have on a shop front.
Okay, yes. Like a lot like one of those rolling grates. Yeah. So it's just kind of to keep the sun out. And a lot of people, what they do is like basically they have their windows and doors open in the morning, like 6, 7 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Get that cool air in.
Yeah. And then they basically close everything up, drop the shutters. And then when they leave the house, they're ideally the apartment and room isn't, wherever you are, isn't heating up nearly as much as it would be had you left the things open.
Yeah, I think it's an easy mistake to make to think that you should, you know, leave a window open or leave things open just to get like some breeze. But that has not seemed to work. And that is not the prevailing theory. The theory is that you kind of close everything up and keep the cool air in while you're gone in the heat of the day.
For sure. And I think one thing we did already talk about, if any of you have listened to the Rome episodes, is that it, and we've noticed it this time especially because this is the first time we've been in Rome that there wasn't a massive heat wave, like mm-hmm. either just before we came or while we came. I think the last 2 or 3 years, basically it was hit by this, like, you know, we got here and it was like 98, 99 degrees for a week, and then it would go down to the, you know, low 90s, mid 90s. And that pretty much, you know, set off our trip every time. This is the first time we came and it was like 86, 85 degrees. And it was like, ooh, we're going to have a nice cool couple days. But we noticed, especially in like Trastevere, especially in some of the older neighborhoods, and even, I mean, honestly, just pretty much any neighborhood. Like, I mean, if you're talking like around the Pantheon, if we're talking around the Colosseum, mm-hmm. It was just a minimum of like 7 or 8 degrees hotter.
Oh yeah, it will feel hotter in some areas than the weather app or whatever it is says that it is, just because everything is trapping heat, holding heat, reflecting heat. Every, you know, there's bodies around, there's not a lot of shade. It's gonna feel hot at some point.
Yeah, so that was a big thing that we brought up last time, and just wanted to reiterate it this time too. It's like, because we have met people since we did the first Rome episodes that have gotten like heat stroke or have gotten like, you know, I don't know, not like full on like heat pass out stroke, I guess, but just like,
I mean, you can easily get heat exhaustion.
Yeah, heat exhaustion. Yeah. And they will mention too, just in case, that in, if you happen to be coming and there's a heat wave, just kind of like talk to, maybe if you're staying at an Airbnb or a hotel, talk to whoever your point of contact is. Because every summer Rome sets up a hotline you can call, if you are out and somebody does have heat exhaustion or heat stroke or heat anything, mm-hmm. you can call them and they'll basically send somebody there, like an EMT essentially, and you know, with liquids and this and that, and if needed, bring you to a hospital. So that's something that it's good to have, just that kind of information is really good to have, if you're coming in the summer, basically.
Yeah.
Which is not to, you know, scare you off. It's just, I think a lot of people don't realize that there's a lot of walking involved.
There is. And I think everybody ends up being out longer, walking farther, you know, just being harder on their bodies than anybody anticipates. It just happens.
Yeah, mixed with the fact that it is a bit humid. And if you're not used to humidity, it's like you're just wet all the time. And it can feel like you're sweating, but you're not. You're just wet all the time. And I think between that and the fact that, like, I mean, we've seen people just at, like, you know, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night who you can tell they've been out since the first thing in the morning and they're just completely red. They look exhausted. They're just like barely making it from site to site. And a lot of that I think is also just down to the fact that even when you're sometimes sitting in the shade, you don't realize that the sun's actually reflecting on you from like a building or a window or something. And you're just sort of, you know, dying. Yeah. Rome's not very big on the green space, which kind of brings us though to the next ish points, I guess, right?
Well, before we even talk about, you know, where to find shade, I want to reiterate, I think we've talked about this quite a lot in other episodes, but fountains in Rome, public drinking fountains, not the big, pretty, fancy ones. Those usually are not drinking fountains, and you will get a fine if you, like, hop in them and play in them. Big thing for a lot of tourists.
Well, to be clear, that is the Trevi Fountain. That is the fountain near the Spanish Steps, which part of it has two drinking fountains you can drink from, mm-hmm. Part of the design, I guess, and then the rest of it you cannot be in.
Yeah.
And then Piazza Navona.
Yeah, and then in Piazza del Popolo.
Piazza del Popolo has four fountains in the center that are not drinking and not, you can't like douse your body in. However, on the edges, I believe there are fountains that you can drink from.
There's the one at the, what is it, the north part that you can drink from.
The north part.
The two on the sides are not potable.
Oh, they're not potable. Okay, so that's, there
I
we go.
I believe they're not potable.
So,
also, last time we walked by them, I don't know if they had running water in them.
Okay, well, yeah, I think so, this is a good lesson that you should always double check
information. The one in the Piazza del Popolo that you can drink from, it looks kind of like a big,
bathtub.
Lovely bathtub. Yeah, it's kind of attached to the wall of the Da Vinci Museum.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Yes, and so basically, all throughout Rome, there are these little, they almost look like fire hydrants. They're not, but yeah, they're the, you know, little sort of iron drinking fountains. You can pop your water bottle under, and it's completely potable, very clean water, totally free.
Usually very cold as well.
Yeah.
If you found one and it's not cold, just walk for like 2 more minutes and you'll find one that's cold.
Yeah, they really are everywhere. I mean, I guess we should say not necessarily next to all of the like tourist sites or like big sites, but,
well, I mean, there is one outside the Pantheon. There's one outside the Colosseum.
Okay, you're right. Okay.
I mean, it's like two.
I was thinking we often do a walk from Piazza del Popolo like to the Spanish Steps.
Yeah.
And there's a walk where, you know, there's a bunch of like H&M and Gap and a bunch of those places,
yes,
which I'm
not
saying aren't tourist sites, but there aren't necessarily fountains in that
That's
area.
That's a very good point.
But most of Rome
yeah.
has those drinking fountains, so make use of them.
No, I think that, and like, but I think the one to also throw in there, the ones in, what is it, St. Mark's Square? Yeah, St. Mark's Square, which is where the Vatican is, St. Peter's Basilica. I'm trying to remember the English names for it. Here it's always the Italian names. Wow, that sounds so bougie.
What is the Italian name?
Piazza di San Marco.
Oh, okay.
And then like the Basilica di San Pietro.
Okay.
But no, so those fountains in that little square basically are all drinkable. I believe they're all, they're very clearly drinkable in the sense it's just like a little spout. It's not anything you could jump into. But I think the takeaway is if it looks like a fountain you can get into, please don't, because
yeah.
you will definitely incur a fine. And they're very serious about that kind of stuff here, unsurprisingly.
Mm-hmm. But if it has a little spout, and you know, they're pretty obvious once you've seen one, you'll start noticing them around the little spout you can get a little drink from.
So that's a good way to, like, as you mentioned, that's a really good way to stay cool if it's cold water, but also just to stay hydrated. And if you're wearing any kind of, we talked about this a lot, but if you're wearing like a waterproof shoes or sandals, or like not waterproof, but like sandals, I guess. Mm-hmm. One of our favorite things is just to sort of dip our, you know, like if it's the, not dip our feet into the fountain, but if the water is kind of coming from the fountain, and a lot of them are near foot level, so it's kind of bend down to fill up a water bottle. It's nice to kind of rinse off your feet or mm-hmm. your back of your neck or something, which a lot of people do. Just
if you're wearing a hat, you can pop your hat in it and put a cold, yeah, wet hat on your head.
Exactly. No, and I think those are the things that, like, it just the kind of the, they all sound silly. It sounds like you're living in a desert, I know, but it's, I realize these are the ones that we've noticed. It just turns the day around. It goes absolutely from just like, oh my God, I'm hot and miserable and just, I need to sit down. And then you're like, wow, I'm feeling really good all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. So take a seat in the shade and have some water. It can really turn your day around.
Absolutely. So next we have museums.
Yeah. So this is something that I think we hadn't really thought about because we don't actually often go to museums, even though I'm an artist, that's terrible. No, we don't often go to museums because most of the time you have to pay and we're on a shoestring budget. But now that we realize this, we want to share with you all that museums are open during the lunch hour, where a lot of things aren't necessarily. So in the heat of the day, you can be in a museum, and a lot of them are air conditioned and or dark and cool. Mm-hmm. So that's a really great option if you already want to go to a museum, to, you know, plan it for a hot day.
And the lunch hour being 1:30 to 4:30, not an mm-hmm. actual hour for lunch. This is Italy, after all. But yeah, it's at 1:30 to 4:30, 1 to 4. If we went recently to the Galleria Nazionale, the Palazzo Barberini, mm-hmm. Which was really nice. It's quite easy to get to in the sense that Barberini is a metro stop. It's also just quite central. There's a lot happening in that area. But we went there recently just for the free Sunday, and
it was great. Number
it
one,
it was fantastic. It was fantastic. Free Sunday is the first time since COVID that places are actually participating. The last 2 years, 3 years we've been mm-hmm. here. was still during COVID in that sense.
So some places were participating, some weren't, some were doing every other. Mm-hmm. It was really confusing, but now it seems like everybody's back on board with the regular.
But I think the majority weren't, because we went in a few museums and they were like, oh no, it's $20-$25 a ticket. And I was like, mm-hmm. well, no, and we'll see you later.
So first Sunday in Rome is free Museum Sunday. Last Sunday is free entry to the Vatican museums. Yes, the museums. The Vatican is free to get into all the time, just going into the church.
And I believe the Sistine Chapel you have to pay to get into, but I believe that's also free on the last Sunday. So if you're planning a trip, but you haven't actually bought tickets yet, but you're planning on it, and you like to wait to the very last minute because we're in July, get kind of planning for the end of the month into the next month is actually not a bad idea if you're trying to maximize the culture you receive.
Mm, for
and,
free.
Yeah, and minimize your cost. But those museums are really, they are, like, they're fantastic. If you're basically, yeah, high heat of the day, height of the sun, if you need to get out of it,
mm-hmm. basically. And the Piazza Barberini, it's a hard word for me to say. I'm glad you brought that up because that has a great, it's not a giant lawn, but it's a lovely kind of shady garden, grassy area mm-hmm. That you can chill out in the shade. But also, if you go in the museum, they have this super cool room that has, like, I'm going to do a very bad job of explaining this. It has the, like, early 20th century, like beach chairs, you know? And you can, lay in them and stare up at the ceiling and the whole room.
Yeah.
That's just me talking about how cool I think this museum is. But
no, but they have, like, these giant paintings, and then the ceiling's painted. Maybe the giant tapestries and the ceilings are painted.
Yeah.
But then to kind of get a good feel of them, they have these little beach chairs, like, layout mm-hmm. that you can just lay out
giant
on.
Giant dark room, and you can just, like,
yeah,
hang out and look at some art for a minute.
And I will, actually, I want to mention the Palazzo Barberini, because it is only one or two of those rooms are actually air-conditioned. The rest are not, because it's just a huge old building and pretty much impossible to cool. Mm-hmm. However, because it is, I guess, stone and old, and they have the windows shut and high ceilings, they do feel quite cool inside.
Yes.
But it's not like standing in the air, like if you're really cool, you know, if you're like just burning up, like pop into an H&M or something and you're, you know, they always have the AC going.
AC pumping,
But otherwise, yeah, that's a good place to kind of, like, especially we don't have kids, but it's like, we often realize that with kids who maybe are going to get hot a lot quicker and have, you know, just like, it's this sort of extra person to worry about, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. No, but it's important to kind of, like, figure out some things to do. We realize that don't involve walking around really sunny streets.
In the blazing sun.
Yeah. And there are children's museums as well. There's like one really major one near the Flaminio metro stop.
Mm-hmm. It looks quite fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interactive looking. So if you do need to take your kids, it looks kind of like, I say kids, I want to like basically 12 and under kind of like the vibe of the museum. So I don't know if teenagers would have a great time there, but I guess if you're 13, you might just have a lot of time just walking around. I mean, at 13, I would love just walking around Rome, I realize.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not a bad option either. Yeah, laying down those gardens though around the Palazzo Barberini.
Mm-hmm. What are some other gardens people can hang out in?
There's parks. There's a lot of parks.
That's what I mean, parks.
Well, there's the Villa Borghese. I think it's a popular one.
That's huge.
And that one's kind of like a, I don't know. I wouldn't know how to explain it. It's a bit like, I want to urge people not to consider like American parks when you think of Italian parks, because a lot of it is a bit, how do I explain this?
It's okay. So there's the Villa Borghese and then mm-hmm. the Borghese, I think they're called the Borghese Gardens, but it's like an estate.
Yeah.
So there are large hilly lawn patches as well as like giant dirt patches that I'm guessing they're redoing. Maybe they're dirt on purpose. Lots of trees. It's just a giant sort of estate with different patches of grassy areas.
And even the grassy areas are often more meadowy than grassy. It's a warning. Like, so if you bring a blanket, it's not like, ooh, we're going to land some nice cut grass. It's like, oh, it's tall grass, not tall, but like, sometimes they don't cut it for the month, and it's like, oh, that's up there. That's, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just want to, like, basically, to, like, head off expectations. It's not like you're going to bring a frisbee and a soccer ball, kick the ball around, run around, throw a frisbee like you would maybe in an American park or even, like, a French park, because they seem to be big on the sort of classic. Or even, I know, Scotland is huge on the lawns in their parks. So that's, I think, something just to kind of keep in mind is that, like, a lot of these suggestions are going to be what the Italians, I think, consider places to lay down in the shade. Maybe not so much that, like, as Americans, I'm looking for something a little bit more like flat and I don't know, maybe not, I don't know, because even Central Park, Central Park is like manicured and it's like supposed to be wild and like it's heavily manicured. But I think this is more just like, there's just stuff growing. Good luck out there.
Yeah. It's nice though. Beautiful. A lot of people picnic out there, but it's not that manicured, you're right.
But I think it's one of the things, if you're on a budget, it is a great picnic spot. I say a budget because it's like, if you're like, I need to eat lunch, you can get some great stuff from a grocery store or from like a pizza place and then bring it there and have a really relaxing
afternoon. Yeah, and I think we mentioned this in some of the other episodes, but if you're just looking for a quick sandwich, especially if you eat meat, this is easy. You can just pop into a grocery store and go to the deli counter and they can make you a sandwich and they seem pretty affordable. Super easy picnicky lunch.
But it's like meat, and usually meat and cheese, and sometimes they have like little vegetables under oil.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of point, I want this and this and this, and they just slap it on a sandwich for you. And
you're on your way.
And you're on your way, yeah. Mm-hmm. But besides the Villa Borghese, because that's the popular one, that's definitely the one you're going to be hearing about probably a lot from other people and websites and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're near Termini, which is like the main train station, Roma Termini, some people call it Roma Centrale, which is... just means the central Rome train station.
Mm-hmm.
There is like the neighborhood, the Esquilino neighborhood, and they have their own like Vittorio Emanuele is the metro stop for that. And it's kind of, I think, it's basically a great place to get like, if you're in Rome for more than like a day or two, it's more, it's like where you're going to find all the Indian food restaurants. It's mm-hmm. kind of like there's a market that's very...
It's like international rather than being Italian.
Yeah, it caters a lot towards like immigrants in the sense that it's like the only place you're going to find like cilantro in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Plantains. Spices.
A lot of rice is like, you can find a lot more. Like the grocery stores almost only have rice to make risotto with, which is not bad, but it's a very starchy rice. And if you are at an Airbnb and you're cooking and you're like, I just want to make like a rice dish that isn't risotto, it's kind of hard. Sometimes it can be hard to find like basmati or something.
Sometimes,
so there is like basically it's one of those things you're spending a week in Rome. And I'll say this because I think when you and I, even when we're traveling with your family and my family, it's like mm-hmm. if we spent more than one night somewhere, we were cooking. And just because it was one of those things where I think you and I don't view cooking as a chore so much, but as like a...
We enjoy cooking.
Yeah, we enjoy cooking. So it's kind of fun to go to a new place and mm-hmm. be like, ooh, this is a fun opportunity.
And also I think it's so fair, especially if you've been traveling for a long time. I know... Nathaniel and I will get this way if we go for like for hopping from continent to continent. Sometimes you don't want the food of that place. Sometimes we don't want Italian food. Mm-hmm. You want Indian food or Chinese food. Like, that's completely fair. And that's an area where you can get that.
Well, that's actually the other thing is, like, I read it, like, on Reddit sometimes. There's, like, this travel, solo travel, even the Rome subreddit, Roma subreddit will be people just being like, you know, we're in Rome and we've been in Italy for, like, a week and a half and we love Italy, but oh my God, I cannot have more Italian food. Like, is there anywhere else to get food? And it's hard because it's, Italians, I think, like, a very broad generalization, but I think as a whole, it's like, they're big in their own food culture. Mm-hmm. And I think as an American, it's like, it's not uncommon for somebody to just be like, I really like Mexican food. I'm going to make a Mexican Asian fusion place. And you're like, all right, do you have any ties to either of those places? Like, no, I have no what I'm doing. And you're like, cool, I love this idea. Let's do it. So I think it's, there is that, like, coming from a place where when you're, you know, going out to, like, the rare times going out to eat was like, do you want Chinese food or Mexican food or Japanese food? And here it's like, so Italian? It's pizza? Yeah, yeah, we're going to offer pasta or pizza.
So that's all to say that there are some great international restaurants. And you can even, we have a favorite Indian place where you can get takeout.
It's called Indian Fast Food.
Thank you for that. I didn't remember what it was called. And you can grab that and go sit in the park, and that's really lovely.
And the park there, though, it's a, I think it's a piazza more than, it's called Piazza Vittorio Emanuele. Yeah.
I find it parky, but you're right. It's not all, like, grass.
Right, but it's a lot of
in certain bits. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lot of grass to lay down in, which is important. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of, like, when you walk by there, you'll see a ton of people just laying, like, on their lunch break or just if it's a hot day. I mean, it's just basically laying out under the trees. It's not a huge park, but it's, like, in the sense that Borghese is massive. It takes up, like, a fifth of Rome. Maybe not a fifth, but, like, a seventh for sure.
It's quite a lot. It's pretty big, yeah.
But then this might be, you know, a tiny little, like, couple square blocks, basically. But it's a really nice little, it's much more manicured. It's a much nicer grass to lay down on. It's not, it's like, plus, again, there's a lot of food nearby. So again, if it's one of those things, if you're in the area, if you're like, you know, this is close to our hotel, we found a cheap hotel near the train station, it is a good place to get, like, food and then sit in the park for a minute, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those are the ones that you and I maybe would frequent or do happen to pass by. There are a couple others that we'll put in the description that I'm sure are lovely. They exist. We just don't go to them that often, either because they're more sunny or they're a little bit out of the way. But they're there if you're in the neighborhood. So we'll put those in the description as well.
Yeah. Do we have any? I mean, we're gonna look those up.
Cause, yeah, I have.
Okay. Two. Oh, you have some ideas?
Yeah.
Oh, what are they?
Well, they're not written down. I don't know what they're called.
Oh, okay. Well, we're gonna look them up and then write them down. Because
I can't leave that in the episode.
I'm totally gonna leave this in the episode. It shows our humanity. We're not perfect people. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Well, I have them in my mind. I don't know what they're called. So I'm going to make sure I have the right name and put them in the description.
That sounds perfect. So moving on seamlessly with this beautiful segue.
Cooling off outside of room. Oh, before we go to outside of room, actually, we should mention pools.
That's a good point. Okay. Because... yeah, that one's a, so one of the big cooling off things that we wanted to, like, eventually talk about in general, and we were going to write an article on this and do another post on this, but it was basically where to go in the water around Rome, because one would look at Rome on a map and rightfully think that it's somewhat near, like, the ocean, so, you know,
what could you... It is somewhat near the ocean.
Like, you could go to the beach, right? Except the beach is a nightmare here, and I mean that lovingly, but... no Roman I've ever really met so far is like, you should go to Ostia. That's the beach to go to. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, don't go to Ostia.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not ideal.
It's not ideal. It's a lot of people, it's, to very briefly explain it in case you have Ostia on your trip, it's a lot of beaches in Italy you have to pay to be at because they're controlled by these, like, what are called Lidos, basically, LIDO, and it's like these little... it's a mix between, like, a place,
like,
that rents out, yeah,
coffee,
restaurant coffee. They rent out the chairs.
Yeah.
They have a changing room. They have a towel. They have a little shower. Mm-hmm. You get a towel with it. It's a whole, you know, you get the whole thing. You pay 20, 25, 35 bucks and you're there for the day. And a lot of people like them. You get the little umbrella as well. And that's why when you see these, like, aerial photos of, like, Italy beaches, it's just covered in these.
Yeah. Those are not individuals all bringing their matching umbrellas.
That is these little places set up.
Yeah.
And I basically, so there are also these, like, spiagge libere.
Yeah.
These free beaches, basically. And that, they typically aren't very big is the issue. I mean, it's like, we're coming from a place that is close to the coast in the States. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like imagining.
And all of it is free beach.
And all of it's free beach, yeah. So it's like imagining that you can only be on, like, the size, like not even quite the size of a football field, half a soccer pitch, football pitch, if you're not from places like America, if you have a fun word for that sport. My point is, it's not a very big space that you're all like, and then you might be almost 200 of you crammed into this spot. So it can kind of feel a little, I don't know, a little just like claustrophobic, I guess, and then not as enjoyable, because you just, it's just like a bunch of people in the water and this and that, but then it's like, they kind of also keep you from going in the water in front of one of the other Lidos. It's like, you know, it's just weird. So that being said, is if you're planning on a beach trip in Rome, and I only made this episode or wanted to write about it because so many people have asked us, and we read so often, like on websites like Reddit and this and that. But even these like these posts, these like travel and leisure posts or whatever they are, with like five best beaches near Rome, and it's just like three of them are nowhere near Rome, yes, and then two of them are awful, and it's like, okay, well, best is a stretch. So anyway, this is a very long way of saying that like a beach trip is not a free trip. It is a pricey trip typically, especially because it's by the person. I don't know if there's like any family deal, but like a family of four, it's like you can easily expect 100, 120, 130 for the day, which for some families, I realize it's totally reasonable. For the families, it's maybe a little less reasonable given the fact that that's, you have to also get out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the free beaches do exist. You and I, we have never paid for a Lido. We always go to the free beach, no matter where we are. And sometimes it is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's fine. So, you know, it's doable.
It's very doable. But
you just maybe don't expect luxury.
Well, I think it's also like, the reason I want to, I guess I'm putting this little warning is because I think a lot of people have this idea of like Mediterranean beaches, and it's like, Ostia is not one of the, it's on the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. It's not, like,
yeah. And to be clear, okay, so we're gonna go through a couple of the beaches that you can get to and that we have heard are nice from Rome, but first, to clarify, so Nathaniel is saying Ostia, and that is a town with a beach. Ostia Antica, which we will talk about a little bit later in this episode, is near there but different. That's where they're, what's in Ostia Antica?
It's the old port.
Okay.
Like old being like 2,000 years ago, something like that.
Okay. So there are like ruins and I mean, it's like it's of historical interest.
It's a little bit like Pompeii or Pestum or something. Yeah. It's a little bit just like an old archaeological site, mm-hmm, that they now sometimes have concerts in.
Yeah. So that's cool. I just wanted to make the distinction that we're not saying that the beach in Ostia, I mean, basically, they're just two different places. So very to much clarify so for you, yes, we're talking right now about the beach in the town of Ostia.
Yes. But I think to start it off, you mentioned pools, and I think that's just a good place to start. I wanted to quickly mention the beach thing, and then because we'll get there more later, but I wanted to very briefly mention that in case like we somehow skipped over it. But for pools, there are pools in Rome that, mm-hmm, you can pay to be at if it's one of those hot day things.
Yeah, most of them are going to cost you 20 euros a person. A lot of them do have half day rates that I think start usually at like 3, so 3 to the evening, which maybe is like 6, 7, 8. Every pool has a different time about when they're open, but the whole day will probably cost you about 20 euros per person. And some of them are really luxurious. They're in hotels. Some of, mm-hmm, them are in hotels, but are more like, you know, hotel outdoor pools. Fine. Some of them are more sporty and local. Like it'll just be like a big lap pool. And farther into like a neighborhood that you might not happen into as a tourist. And some of them are in between. They're for locals, but they are made to be a bit more luxury. Yeah, a bit more of a destination, a bit more luxurious, a bit more maybe even kid-friendly than just a giant lap pool.
Yeah.
So there's some good places to find whatever you're looking for. You can, you know, just look up pools in Rome.
I think that's, and because like we can, and I'll probably try to throw some in the description, but they are, mm-hmm, they're not like, what is it? It's like not evergreen information, basically. So it's hard to give advice. Yeah. It's like sometimes it's like a hotel might have done it during COVID because they were losing money. So they're like, oh, this is a good way to make money. So they might not do it anymore because it's like, why are we going to rent out our pool space when we have tons of people staying? So there's obviously all those community pools and stuff too. And some of them might not, like it was a big thing last year and the year before that they were doing it because, again, it's like, are you just trying to make money because of COVID, or, mm-hmm, is it like something else? So we can try to put some in the description, but it is probably best that you ask again if you're in Rome for a few days and you're, you know, happen to coincide with a heat wave or something like that, and you're like, oh, we might cancel one of our days doing something exhausting and, you know, and go to the beach or go to a pool instead. Mm-hmm. It's good to ask, or especially for a pool, it's good to ask locally. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it could be anyone from literally like your, you know, the person who's renting out your Airbnb, or the hotel, the front person at the hotel. But also it could just be, you know, if you go to a cafe, you can ask them like,
yeah,
do you
absolutely.
Know any pools around?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that we get a lot of our information like that, cause they'll very quickly tell you their life story and opinion on pools.
Yeah. And some of them, you do have to wear a swim cap. We mm-hmm. just found out about one. What's it called?
Camp Flaminio.
Which is maybe what a lot of Americans would expect from a somewhat community pool, just like shape wise, and they have chairs you can sit in and umbrellas. Like, it's a nice big pool. I think it is €20 a day, but you don't have to have swim caps there. So that's all to say that some of them you do have to have a swim cap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, I mean, if you don't have it, there's places to buy one. So, you know, don't bring your swim cap, basically.
Yeah. Unless you have a favorite lucky swim cap.
Unless you have a favorite lucky swim cap. But then there are also, like, so going past pools, there are also, as like, the beaches and the lakes.
Yeah. Do you want to start off? You're all passionate about the beaches and the lakes.
I'm all passionate about the beaches and lakes. We haven't really been to many beaches and lakes, I'll be very honest with you.
Around Rome, at least.
Around Rome, at least. Yeah, that's a good point. I think the better place to start, maybe, is with the lakes.
Mm-hmm. Bracciano?
Yeah. Okay. So there's when people talk about the lakes around Rome, there's two main. There's Lake Bracciano, and then there's the, I think it's something Gondolfo, but this Castel Gondolfo is the town near it.
Oh, okay.
But it's either way, there's one kind of north of Rome and one south of Rome. The one south of Rome where Castel Gondolfo is where you go is a volcanic lake. I think it's like in an old crater. Bracciano, I have no idea. It's just a lake. But it's much more common that you'll hear Romans basically going to these lakes because it's a lot cheaper per day. It's, you know, something like €5 to €7 a day.
For the Lido price.
For the Lido price, there's still the free beach. But plus, just the towns themselves are a lot cheaper. So it's a little bit more in line with, like, you know, 80 cents for a coffee rather than a euro, euro 20. Because, I mean, Ostia, again, it's not just the price you're paying to be at the Lido, but even, like, in the town, you can expect to spend a lot more on lunch and things like that simply because it's, you know, they're assuming a lot of people are going to be coming for the summer.
Right.
So there is Bracciano, which is a really, really popular one. You can get the train from either Ostia, Roma Ostia, or Roma Tiburtina. Those are two different train stations. I don't believe there are any trains out of Termini, mm-hmm. which is the central one. So you do have to, like, the Roma Ostia is, on the metro line, and so is Tiburtina, I believe. So you can easily get to, those two train stations and then
Switch to the train to Bracciano, yeah. And it is only cost like €3.60.
Yeah, and I think it's the regional train.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these are all, we're going to give you regional trains for all of them simply because our understanding is that the regional trains are a fixed price. So
no surge pricing, essentially.
Well, yeah, no like last minute pricing and no like nothing. It's like whether you get it a week in advance or like, you know.
Day of.
Yeah, or you could just go to the train station and say, I need the next train to Bracciano. It's the exact same price, mm-hmm. and that should be about €3.60. And again, it's we kind of one thing we're going to mention after cooling off in Rome is day trips from Rome, and Bracciano is another like it kind of falls in that same thing. A lot of people go there as a day trip simply because it's easy to get to. It's a small Italian town. Mm-hmm. It's got that sort of medieval feel. It's got a lot of that like.
If you're not going to be able to, if you don't have planned to go to a small Italian town. But you want to go to the beach, you know, or you can wrap it in with Bracciano and get both of those experiences in one.
I think exactly. I don't mean small like Siena. Like Siena would not be remotely similar to Bracciano. I think it's more just like I know some people go to Spoleto.
Considered a small town?
It's small compared to like Rome or Florence.
It's a small city. Live in a small town.
We live in a small town. Okay, so it's a small city. But I guess think more because like Spoleto and there's. A handful like Umbria and Tuscany that are like really just these beautiful small towns that people keep talking about. But they're not like the easiest to get to.
Especially if you don't have a rental car.
Yeah.
If you're going by train, sometimes they can be difficult to get to.
Yeah. So it's like Bracciano kind of does cross both those off the list, but it's a great lake to just go and chill out. It's supposed to be, again, we haven't been there yet. We've been through a few times, but we've heard it's just a lot cheaper. I mean, everything from gelato to coffees to lunch. Plus, being at the actual beach is a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. But again, the trade-off is it's fresh water, not salt water. It's more of a muddy ground, not like a sandy, rocky ground. So it is kind of depends on how you want to have a swim day.
Mm-hmm. And Castel Gandolfo is quite similar, right? As far as we know. I mean, it's a lake.
That one we have a lot more information, I think, about simply because we haven't actually even been through. It is... Because Bracciano's on the way to places. Like, if you've heard... I know some people wanted to go to Viterbo. We've met mm-hmm. one or two people are heading up to Viterbo because it's like... I think Viterbo is better described as like a small Perugia or maybe like a really teeny tiny... I mean, I wouldn't even say teeny tiny Siena, but it's got that kind of like small hilltop...
it's a small hilltop city.
Medieval city, yeah.
Yeah, it's a city even though it's their historical area seems quite small. But a lot of people go there, I mean.
But it's supposed to be like, a lot of people like, I mean, there's a decent expat community there. It's got like, it's supposed to be a bit artsy, though we have found that other places are a little bit more artsy, mm-hmm. maybe.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily put it on your list.
Yes, unless it's already on your list, in which case we encourage you to go.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be mean. no, just having been there, I think there are other places that maybe are of more interest if you have limited time.
Yes, exactly. No, and so but that's Bracciano's on the way, but mm-hmm. Castel Gandolfo currently has not been on the way to anywhere we've been.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's on the way anywhere. I don't know if it's like it ends the line there, but I think it's about €2 and change.
Yeah, I think it's like $2.10.
$2.10. And it's another regional one. Again, like I said, these are all going to be regional, so they don't change. And they're not bad. I mean, I think they're all going to be about, I think Bracciano and Castel Gandolfo, they're all about an hour, maybe a little longer, hour and change away from Rome. So it's like, even if you don't go swimming, even if you didn't bring, you know, like anything to swim in, it's nice to go and just cool off just because mm-hmm. it's going to be a lot cooler up there or down there. Just because you're going to be near a giant lake and it's going to cool off the area and having a nice walk around kind of a medieval old town. Eating gelato is a lot better than sometimes spending, an afternoon in Rome where you're just dying of the heat.
Mm-hmm. There's also Santa Maranella, which is not a lake. That's on the beach.
Yeah,
right?
So going to the beaches, that's a beach that's up north past Rome on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple. We have Santa Maranella. There's one before you get off it, and I cannot remember what it's called. It's Santa something or another. I have it written down on the phone. People keep telling me about this. They're like, it's actually nicer. It's a stop before Santa Maranella.
So we should put that in the description?
So I can put that in the description for sure. but that one is supposed to be a little bit nicer. And again, so it's on the same train route. So you can kind of like pop your head out and look rather than, yeah, not, mm-hmm. I guess. Like,
yeah, and that one is a 460.
Yeah, that's
Okay. 460 as far as we know.
So I think it's going to be a little more expensive than the other ones, but... Yeah, it's because you're going farther away, so it mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense.
And then Anzio, I mm-hmm. think, is the one that we've been recommended most, would you say?
I think so, yeah. Because it's...
And it's the easiest... We think it's the easiest to get to.
As far as beaches, because there's a train there. It's the same regional thing, so it does a lot of stops before it gets there. Like Santa Maranella, I think it does other stops before it gets there. And I think there's one after Anzio or something. Again, but like a couple stops before and after their beach stops.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if you're kind of like, if you see a bunch of people getting off at a certain stop, you're like, oh, this might be the beach to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's not Anzio, but we've heard really good things about Anzio. We've heard good things just about the beach there and the vibe, so to speak, of the town. And there are like, and I think kind of one thing we really wanted to mention is that when you read, and we're going to mention this again for the day trips, but it's important to mention now. But when you read and you Google, like, you know, best beaches near Rome, we made a joke about it earlier, but it's going to give you options like Sperlonga or Gaeta. It might even give you, like, there's an island off of Anzio called Ponza, which is supposed to be a beautiful island. I've not been. There's a handful of others that they're like, you know, should really try these places out for beaches. But for instance, like, I mean, the Travel and Leisure article we looked at, because we were looking at, like, personally, we're like, we want to go to the beach. We're, you know, mm-hmm. we're going to get to the beach. And this is before asking people around. And they were like, you go to Sperlonga. And I'm like, I don't. But when you go to the Google Maps, the train station for Sperlonga is, like, nowhere near. It's, like, 10 miles away, 15 miles away.
You have to get a taxi or some sort of
shuttle bus or something.
Yeah. From where the train drops you into the beach.
Yeah, and Gaeta is the same way. Like, Gaeta is this beautiful little old town, like, kind of jutting out of sort of the mainland, so to speak. And it's technically, I believe, in Campania, so it's like the region south of Lazio, which is where Rome is. But there's no train station, Gaeta, so you have to like get the train to near Gaeta, and then they take a bus. So anyway, all of this is to say, we highly recommend you do research before just sort of taking the first option. Like, basically, it's like, oh, that sounds good. Well, you know, it says it takes an hour to get there. We'll do that. And yeah. then not realizing
and
the
like,
train
leaves. And like, read the fine print. I mean, the Travel and Leisure, specifically that one, I remember that once I kind of read the description of each of them, there were a little like, oh, it does say taxi in there. Or yeah. if you have a car, even if that's not like in the headline, it's just not clear. So the ones that we're recommending are easy to get to by train and fairly, affordable per person.
Yeah.
I think I didn't say, but Anzio is only €3.60. So all of these places are less than €5 to get to. And you can get there by train, and they don't take that long to get to. So you can actually do it in a day.
Yeah.
Rather than some places that we've seen in some articles, it takes like 3 or 4 hours to get there. And
well, that's someone's like Ponza.
Yeah, and same amount of time to get back. Like that to me, that's not a day trip. If I have an hour at the beach and the rest of it's on a hot, sweaty train, maybe it's not hot and sweaty, but.
But it's going to be on a crowded train because you're going to and or from the beach.
Yeah.
And the reason I mentioned Ponza, because that's a big one we kept running into. It's just this beautiful island, but it's like, it's something like an hour and 30 minutes on the train, plus another hour and change on a ferry, something like that. It was just like, by the time you get there, it's just like, what's the 2 hours on a beach, and then you have to do the exact same thing to get back to Rome in time?
To me, that doesn't seem fun.
No, not at all. So those are the kind of the wet day trips, I guess, is a good way to put them.
It's an interesting way to describe them.
So let's dry talk about trips the
dry day trips. Should we start with Ostiantica, since we kind of already mentioned it?
You already mentioned that, yeah. So I think that's a good one to start with.
Yeah, I don't know as much about it as you do, I think.
I barely know anything. I just know that it's on the... we've mentioned this in one of the other Rome episodes, but it's worth repeating that the train to Ostia uses the exact same metro ticket. So if you have a day pass, or if you have a week pass, or if you have one of those passes it's like free travel for 48 hours plus entry or reduced entry into some museums, that pass can also take you to the beach.
To Ostia.
Mm-hmm. To Ostia. So it's super easy to get there if you just need to like just go dip your toes in the water kind of thing. But Ostia Antica, I believe, is one or two stops before Ostia. And it's an archaeological park. Mm-hmm. Again, I think like Pompeii is a good example of what it might look like simply because mm-hmm. it's just ruins. It used to be a port, bunch of silt buildup basically pushed the port further or farther and farther out. And now it's just this random port town that's actually inland.
And like you said, they have concerts there.
Yeah.
I think there's a water park there.
There's something there. The concert's supposed to be interesting.
Yeah, it's maybe neither. And maybe that's not important, but...
The concert's or the water park?
The water park.
I don't know. I mean, if you have kids and you're like, hey, water park today. I mean, I would go. I'd love the idea of a water park.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there. It's a hot day. We're recording this and it's not even at the heat of the day yet. And I'm already just like, oh.
Just toasty. You want to go to the water park?
I want to go to the water park.
Okay. So let's move on.
Perfect.
To Tivoli.
Yeah.
Which many of you probably know of. It's where... Is it Hadrian's Villa is there?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be beautiful.
And if I'm not mistaken as well, we haven't actually been out there because it's a little confusing. I think you take the bus called Cotral, Cotral, and we'll put this in the description just so, especially if I'm wrong. But you're supposed to go take the Cotral buses with the same Metro card. And they don't really go anywhere that interesting that I have found, except to Tivoli and then Tivoli and the Hadrian's Villa there. Again, Tivoli is, I want to also throw out that there is a bit of a, sort of that a medieval old town feel as well. So if you can't like make it to Bracciano or something like that, or if you only wanted to go one little old town and Hadrian's Villa, it's not bad to choose Tivoli. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I could be mistaken, but check, and I think that if you got that 48 or 72 hour, Rome tourist pass, the one that gives you entry or reduced entry into museums plus free travel, I believe Hadrian's Villa is on that as well. Mm. Even though I think it's not technically in Rome, it's a little outside of Rome, I think Hadrian's Villa is on it. Because especially, I don't think the Vatican is, because the Vatican is obviously not in Rome. It's in Vatican City. But Tivoli is a great option for Hadrian's Villa, a little day trip. Super easy to get to. Hour, I think, on the bus, and then you pop back and go on with your day, I guess.
There's also Pompeii, which... is not typically a day trip, but there's a new train or a new direct line, I guess.
There's a new direct line, I think is what it's supposed to be, from Rome.
From Rome to Pompeii, which makes it into a day trip because, I mean, you could spend forever in Pompeii, really, like, you know, days. But you could also just spend, I would say, like 2 to 3 hours.
But also before, just to be clear, like, it would, even if you went to Naples on the fast train, it's been 1 hour and 20 minutes, 1 hour and 10 minutes on the fast train. And even if you took the fast train to Pompeii, it's still another 20 minutes there. So it's like you're talking about almost 2 hours of travel.
With the fastest possible
version. Yeah. And if you took anything slower, you're looking at three hours, 4 hours. So that's all to say now this direct train is supposed to make it a lot easier.
And faster
to get to Pompeii, which is, again, it's one of those things that, like, if you just couldn't find lodging in around Naples or Pompeii and you're like, you know what, we have a day, we're on this sort of archaeological park kick, let's do it. That's a good option.
I think it would be worth it, yeah. But, like, okay, so you mentioned Naples, and I think some people might say that Naples is a day trip. You can get there on the fast train, like Nathaniel said, in an hour. But, okay, you could do it as a day trip. But in my opinion, there is no way to see and enjoy Naples in that amount of time, essentially.
Yeah, no, for sure.
If you're never going to be back to Italy again and you really want to go, I think you can make it possible from Rome, a day trip. But it's not ideal. It's just too much to see and experience.
That's, I think, part of it, because I think a huge, in my opinion, a huge part of Naples is walking around, like, the old part of the town, the Spanish Quarter, kind of getting lost in the maze of streets, just kind of stumbling upon things. It's more interesting, potentially, than, like, I mean, the museum's cool, too. There's a Naples Museum of Art.
I think it's great.
But I think a huge part of the draw, for me at least, for a lot of people, is just, like, wandering around the streets. And it's hard to do, even if you are getting to the thing and you're taking the metro to the area you want to see. It's a difficult day trip.
Mm-hmm. It's also a very chaotic city, so, which, you know, I love, but I think it's a lot to handle in a day. Just, you know, it's like, and it could be an overload, overload.
I think that's exactly, I think that's right. Especially coming from Rome. Rome's a bit crazy, but then I think you made the joke to somebody and they didn't take you seriously, or they thought you were joking. You weren't joking, but it was like, if you think Rome is dirty, just Naples is like 5 times worse easily.
Yeah. Or if you think Rome is chaotic, Naples is 5 times more chaotic, 10 times more chaotic.
It really is. And I think, so that's something to kind of like, I mean, it's a beautiful place and you should definitely go. It's also, it's more of like that thing of just, again, forewarned is forearmed. Is that a thing?
Is that a thing?
I think so. It's okay. Basically just trying to give you some information before you go and make a Naples trip. However, I mean, there, you know, when we'll talk more about Naples later, it's a definite city we wanted to talk more about.
Oh, it's an amazing city, just not maybe ideal for a day trip.
Yeah. Just given how much time it takes to get there, basically.
Mm-hmm. So Florence is the last one that we want to talk about, which, like Naples, obviously you can spend so much time in Florence, and it's an incredible place. But it is possible, because they have a fast train, to get there, have a little day, and then come back. And I think this one, I think Florence is maybe more practical of a day trip than Naples because it is less chaotic.
Lot smaller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can plan to see, you know, one museum, have a lunch, see a couple shops, and get back to Rome.
And the Duomo. I mean, because the Duomo is free to get in, I thought, no?
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, we should double check.
But I'm pretty sure the Duomo is free to get in. And while there's a super long line up front, it does not take that long to get through it. We were both, I think, a little wary of the length the first time we saw it, and we're like, oh god, this can take forever. And then we went in through, and it was like, it was really quite quick. I think that was when your mom came.
The outside of the Duomo is the best part if you don't have time to go in.
I think that's the thing. It's it's cool. It's
very
beautiful.
Like monastic
inside. Yeah, it's quite simple inside, and there's this fun painting on the inside of the Duomo, but it's like, meh, okay. I guess a lot of it's far more interesting from the outside. And I don't mean that. I guess it's just sort of, not in a bad way. It's just like, this is far more interesting than the outside. There's a bunch of shops. There's like, you can really though, and again, we'll talk about Florence specifically in the next episode, speaking of segues. But it is definitely a possible day trip if you're planning on seeing like one museum, an afternoon of walking around shops, a lunch in there. And
I would warn you that the Uffizi is not a practical museum to see if you're going on a day trip.
Yeah.
Unless you can run through. It is huge and there's a lot to see.
And there's a ton of people. That's the other thing. Like,
yeah.
Most of them are to be tour groups, and they do that. And we'll talk about this, I guess, next episode, but they definitely do that. Like, we're going to see seven rooms and we're going to all pile into the same seven rooms, and then we're going to hop to the next one. So it's one of those weird experiences where you can have one room to yourself and the next room has got 100 people in there.
Yeah. If I can, I mean, this is not like specific to this episode, but if I can recommend, if you have the money and you want to take tours, I highly recommend a Vatican tour. Mm-hmm. Nathaniel and I rarely do tours, but my mom was with us, so we did. And the Vatican tour was fascinating. I'm not a very religious person, so I'm not saying that, you know, for religious reasons, but just, you know, the architecture is amazing. The art, the symbolism, it's really, really fascinating. I would not recommend a tour of the Uffizi, because the ones that we saw push you through specific rooms, to specific pieces, and it's such an incredible museum to miss so much of the art, because your tour group needs to get through it in an hour or two or whatever.
Yeah, know? No, I think that's a good point. The there are some tours that are worth it, and there's some tours I think that are not. And I think the Vatican one, while we probably missed a ton of it for sure, they do their own sponsored tours, to be clear. So it's like, rather than the, I don't know, maybe I assume that the Uffizi does as well, but a lot of them are private tours, like private tour guides. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about more of that in the next episode. But to reiterate, too, one thing I want to mention, I mentioned it already from like what are not beach trips, kind of beach day trips. But in the exact same vein is a lot of times you'll read like 10 best day trips from Rome, and
a lot of them aren't day trips.
A lot Surprise. Of them aren't day. And I think it's one of those things, again, it's like, technically, yeah, it's a day trip. You could technically get there, see one thing, and then come home and have spent 9 hours, 10 hours doing that. Mm-hmm. But it's like, and I think, like, we already talked about Naples. Assisi is another one that's on that list. Like, it's hard to get to.
It's hard to get to in the best of times.
Yeah.
It's just way more complicated and difficult to get to in a day trip.
What is, and because we've gone to Perugia, and Perugia is like two stops past Assisi, and we've lived in Perugia for a bit, and we still have not actually seen Assisi because the train station does not let you off anywhere near the town. So it's one of those things, again, you have to get the shuttle bus or whatever up to it. But it's just like, while there's only like one thing, I guess, to see, like just the church, I guess, and maybe walk around the town a bit, it's still kind of like, I almost would say the time is, unless you have a connection with Assisi, the time is almost better spent doing something else.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Siena is in that same sort of vein. Siena is beautiful. You should absolutely go. As a day trip from Rome, it's kind of compounded because it's, I don't believe there's a direct train to Siena. I believe you have
from
to.
From Rome. No.
From Rome. You have to change no matter how you do it. And sometimes you have to go up to Florence and go back down to Siena. Sometimes you can kind of cut over. But either way, I believe you have to change, which just makes it difficult already, because if you, I mean, it's been only like, what have we been, only basically it's been summer for like 2-3 weeks, and already like the few times we've traveled someplace, it's been late, it's been delayed, it's like everything has been delayed, the train we took there, the metro, the bus, the whatever it is, and even in Siena they drop you off at the bus, the train station, which again you have to catch a city bus up into town.
I think it's a day trip from Florence. A lot of people have a day trip to Siena from Florence. Actually, we did it in a day,
and that is actually much easier simply because it is direct from Florence. It's only about 45 minutes if that. And you can take a bus which lets you off actually in the town, rather than
and that below. That has been a lovely day. We did that with your brother and your dad, and that was really nice, relaxing. We got to walk around the city. We'd already been there, so we kind of had lay of the land, which was helpful, but walk around the city, have a little lunch, and it's just not stressful, basically.
No, exactly. It's totally great.
Possible from, from Florence, from Rome.
From Rome was a bit of a nightmare. Like I said, I mentioned like Sperlonga and Gaeta and stuff like that already. And there are others. I want to be like, to clear, there's not just those. It's like some people say the Amalfi Coast is a day trip from Rome, which is a little ridiculous because it's kind of, I mean, it's almost like saying like, I don't know, Miami is a day trip from Atlanta. Maybe not. It's not the same like distance wise, but it's sort of like that sort of feeling of like, yeah, but not really. Or maybe Savannah's a day trip from Atlanta, crazy. I guess is what my distance lies. It's just, there's a lot of those that we heavily disagree with simply because it takes so long to get there.
Yeah.
That you won't actually have time.
You know, spend 4 hours getting somewhere, get off the train, look at that thing, and then get back on the train and get home. If that's what they mean by day trip.
But it's also, like, we joke about this, but it legitimately, like, if that's what you're doing, if it's 4 hours to travel somewhere, you could just as easily catch one of those $5 Ryanair flights to, like, Berlin or Paris and see Paris for the day, you know, or whatever, 4 hours. And then come, you know, so it's, in many ways, it just feels like one of those things where they're padded articles. Like, they didn't really, you know, they always throw in a couple, like, small towns that are beautiful, and it's like, all right, but, like, that's not... I mean, it is an interesting town, but there's more interesting towns that are better to get to and easier to get to. So it's all, I think this is all to say, it's like when you read the best this and the best that, take it with a grain of salt, because we have definitely read a lot of those. And we read, especially the first time we came to Rome, we were so excited. We're like, we can get to all these places from Rome. It's going to be amazing. And then we're like, wow, you can't get to any of these places from Rome.
And then we wasted a lot of time trying to figure it out. And it never came to fruition because it just wasn't possible for us.
I think that's the thing. We get so, like, excited by that idea that we could easily, like, I don't know, somehow be, like, close to Genoa from Rome. And it's like, what am I talking about?
That would be
6 hours away.
So places you can take a day trip to, though, are, like we said, Ostia Antica, Tivoli, which has Hadrian's Villa, Pompeii with the new train, specifically train line. And then Florence.
Which we'll talk about in the next episode.
Yeah.
I think that's it for season 2, episode 2.
Yay! Rome. Stay cool.
Yeah, that's exactly, which should totally be t-shirts made of that or something. thank you all so much for listening and bearing with us as we get back into the flow of things on recording podcasts. As I said, we'll kind of try to put some of this information in the description.
We have a lot to put in the description.
Truth be told, we're probably going to forget some of it.
We're going to do our best to give you our best information. Yeah.
And we're going to try to also do some of these in article forms too. So like if you aren't going to read this until like later in July, maybe not read this when we're talking about, listen to this. Then hopefully I'll have already written like a little article version of it. Cause I think sometimes it's easier just to save that on your phone and scroll through or screenshot it or whatever. So I'll try to do that as well. So that makes some of this a little bit easier to digest. But otherwise, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, we hope to talk to you next time about Florence.
I can't wait. Until then, we need to have a better outro, right?
Okay.
Goodbye.